8, if you will. I was thinking, as Scott sang "Even If" this morning, the last time I remember singing that here was my dad had just recently got diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's, and he was here. The only song the basis of that song is "It Is Well With My Soul." That's the only song I've ever heard my dad sing. He got up and would turn, he'd say, "I know one song to sing." He was musically challenged like myself. But I know y'all hear me say this all the time, but "Even If," or "It Is Well With My Soul," was penned by a gentleman who, when Chicago was burning, he sent his daughters back across the ocean to England, and in the process, the boat sank, and both his daughters died. And he went to the captain of the ship when he was going back to England because Chicago had burned. He went on a trip. He said, "When we get to that place, will you please let me know?" And when he did, he wrote the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." When my dad had about 24 hours left in this lifetime, they shot a video. My sister, my brother, and my stepmom were around the bed, and my dad was dying. We didn't know, but in less than 24 hours, he's going to pass away. But he came to himself in the last 24 hours, and he looked at my stepmom on a video and my brother and my stepsister and looked at him and said, "No matter what, follow Jesus. No matter what." So let me tell you something. It's a song, but it's a way to live too. No matter what, follow Jesus. It is well with my soul. Amen. Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. I know, listen, I'm going to pretend, if y'all will, I'm going to pretend that I don't know you. And you pretend like you don't know me. Matter of fact, act like I'm some evangelist who just came here and you ain't never heard me preach before. Amen. Because it's amazing, an evangelist can come in here and preach something that you preached 100 times, and everybody will do a backflip, like, "Hallelujah, praise God." But if the pastor does it, they go, "Man, ain't the same stuff he done last week." Amen? So just pretend with me. Because I believe God wants to speak to us on a whole other level today. It's one of my favorite passages, one of my favorite stories, but it's a different part of the message that God's got me focused on, Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Let me give you some background. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming from where he fed 5,000, not counting women and children, because somebody was not stingy with their lunch. Amen? A little boy said, "I'd rather give my lunch to Jesus than to hold on to it for myself, save it for a while, eat it myself. Or I can put it in the hands of Jesus." And he tugged on Andrew. "Hey, mister, I'd like to give my lunch to Jesus." And Andrew was a conduit. Andrew took a boy and his lunch to Jesus. And if he had just said, "Jesus, boy's got his lunch," and stopped right there, he'd have sounded spiritual. But he ended it with this: "What are they amongst so many?" I love Jesus. Don't hear everything I say, man. Jesus didn't just say, "Tell everybody to sit down. We're about to eat." Amen? Same few loaves, same few fishes. Tell everybody to sit down. Everybody's about to eat. Right after that, one of the greatest miracles, everybody was fed, everybody was happy. They asked Jesus, said, "We want to make you king." Jesus did two things. He sent the crowd away and he sent the disciples on a boat. Amen? It's one of my favorite stories. And on that ride, you get to see amazing things happen. You get to see Jesus who he is. Amen? In control of everything. He can speak to a storm. Amen? Two things. Either you got to get Jesus in your boat to speak your storm. If he's not in your boat, well, let me break that down and make sense of it. If he's not in your life and you're going through storms, and you will and you are, ask him to get in the boat. It's amazing what Jesus can do with a storm if he's in your boat. But too many of you are letting him keep on walking by. Amen? Some of you have Jesus in your boat. Amen, preacher. But you never wake him up. Amen? You never wake him up. You let him sleep through every storm. You fix, You work, you struggle, you bail. You bail and bail and bail until you get to the end of yourself. And then you fall on Jesus. And all Jesus wanted you to do is fall on Him in the first place. He went over and parked for a Gadarene man who was filled with demons, a legion of devils, naked, naked, cutting himself, living in the tombs, and chains couldn't hold him. And Jesus rolls up on shore and speaks into this man's life and changes him forever, clothed, sitting in his right mind. Amen? When people come to me and they tell me, listen, I do this all the time. When people come to me, they'll say, Jesus can't handle somebody like me. I'm like, I know He can. You still got clothes on. You crazy, you ain't got no clothes on. Amen? You ain't bleeding. And I don't see no chains on you. Amen? Come on. God can fix anybody. Your problems ain't too big for God. The problem is you're too big to go to God for your problems. That's called pride. You're afraid to approach Him. Amen? But if you'll approach Him, He'll change you. So this whirlwind of events are happening, but then Jesus is heading back home. And that's where we meet Him here. Jesus is about to head home at 8:40, and it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. Man, did you come to church today because you were waiting on Jesus to show up here? I hope so. Because listen, we can't do nothing for you if you don't want something from Jesus or you didn't come to give something to Jesus. And I saw some of you right there, you went, oh, I can't stand this preacher. They just start talking about giving. And automatically you go to your finances, but I want you to go to everything. Listen, if you didn't come to get something from Jesus, you better be willing to come to the house of God to give Him something. Listen, okay, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Give Him some money, because why? He's gave you a job. He's gave you financial security. It wouldn't hurt you. Well, I don't know what it says about tithing. Well, let me just say this. Why don't you just be a joyful giver? Why don't you just say, God, you bless me, I'm going to bless you back. All right, we'll stop with the money. What else can we give Him? Why don't we give Him our forgiveness? Man, the church would be an amazing place to be if everybody would come in here and forgive the other people in their lives. That would be amazing. How about some praise? I love when we sing that song every Sunday. Well, not every Sunday, but a lot of them. They'll be singing and shouting over there. Well, what are you waiting on over here? Amen? You barely sing and definitely don't shout. But when we get over there, we're going to be a singing, shouting bunch. Practice. Bring your shouter. I'd like to pull up to some of your neighbors and talk to them and say, do they got to shout? Yeah, you ought to hear them argue. They can shout. Amen? Bring a praise. Amen? Bring a praise. God loves praise. He inhabits the praise of His people. But if you come to the house of God because you had to, or you thought you was doing God a favor or us a favor, or you just came because I got to come, guess what's going to happen? We can't do nothing for you. You're going to be more miserable than you came. How about the gifts? How about to get something? Man, that sounds kind of rough, don't it? I just come to get something. I like to go to the people who can give me something when I need something. Amen? God can give you everything you need. When you're sick, He can be a healer. Amen? When you're down, He can be somebody who brings you up. When you got in the joy, He can give you joy. When you got in the happiness, He can give you happiness. When you feel like you're all alone, praise God, He can fill you up and let you know you've never been alone. Some of y'all need to hear that. Some of you feel like you're all alone. I ain't got nobody. My goodness, you got the God of the universe. He ain't never left you or forsake you. Amen? sitting there, and they brought off the, they were excited to see him. Why? We've heard you've been moving everywhere else. We couldn't wait for you to get back. Listen, I'm selfish with Jesus. I don't want him to show up in the valley. I don't want him up the road at another church. I don't want him over 111. I want him right here every Sunday. I don't want to hear about, man, he moved great over there. I want him to move great here all the time. Somebody said, we had a great service. No, we are going to have one because I'm ready. Amen? I don't want to have one. I want to have one. And you say, well, what if you don't have one? Well, next time I come in here, I'm going to try to have another one. Amen? Are you ready? Why did you show up? Why did you show up? To give something or get something. Otherwise, you'll sit here and you really won't know what's going on. Why are they making such a big deal about this Jesus? Amen? I don't need food. Yeah, but maybe one day you will. Well, I ain't got a storm going on in my life. I can guarantee you this. You will have that happen. And I definitely ain't got no demonic man in my life. Stick around. Stick around. Amen? Stick around. It's always good when you say, man, their family, they're messed up. Amen? One day it'll be you. Amen? And you say, well, how do you know? Because I've stuck around long enough, found out some of them are around my family too. Amen? Look, can I be real honest with you? I was the one in my family. Sorry. Yeah, I'm preaching here too. Verse 4-1, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and when he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. When you get desperate about your kids, God'll show up. And you say, well, I was desperate last month. Didn't God see me? I was desperate 6 months ago. Yeah, but listen, if you really want them, you got to stay at it. Amen? You got to find you a place. It ain't just Sunday morning. It ain't just Wednesday. It's Monday through Saturday, Monday through Sunday. You got to be praying. You got to be seeking God on their behalf. Pray when you really feel that unction to pray. That's when you got to get to business. Amen? And what I mean by the unction to pray is you realize something's going on. Something is going on. Amen? You can ask them, how you doing? I'm fine. Yeah, that ain't the truth. What you got to do is you got to be preemptive strike praying on their behalf. Amen? Verse 4-2. Let's get it. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? We're going to start preaching now in verse 4-2. For he had only one daughter, verse 4-3, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Man, I sat there 2 weeks ago with this thing dropped to my spirit, and I wanted to preach it so bad, and I knew it was in the month of December, and I was like, Lord, I'd want a Christmas message. And God said, I really don't care, I don't do months and time. I'll just give you what you need. Amen. And I mentioned it to my wife 2 weeks ago or a week ago, right up here on this front row. And we had a meeting before a meeting about it because she's on some of the same levels I was on this message. I started thinking about this. We've read this message and heard this preached so many times, but we rarely talk about 12 years. We rarely talk about 12 years. The first thing I wrote down, God put it on my spirit right down, don't stay sick too long. Don't stay sick too long. Because you know what? Pray for you, visit you, see you, talk about you. But you stay sick for 12 years and you'll be all alone. Or you'll feel like you are. We need to have an altar call right now. You can get so sick that you can lose who you are. You can get so sick that the people taking care of you can forget who you were. 12 years is a long time. It'd been better to get a diagnosis and die tomorrow. It'd been better if they'd ripped the band-aid. You got 10 hours. You got 12 hours. Oh, they died on impact. But 12 years of being sick is a lonely place. Whew. Amen? Don't stay sick too long. Lord, help us, church. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. I can be honest. Lord, help me. Don't we forget people when we're doing good and we're fat and happy and moving on, and you know, life goes pretty quick, and we forget sometimes that somebody else was in the same spot. They're sick for 12 years. Whew. I'm not who I was. I started thinking about this lady for 12 years. She started changing. She went from a well person to some person that, man, I've got this diagnosis. There's a specialist. There's a doctor. There's somebody I can go see. There's something I'm going to do. And guess what? For 12 years, she started changing from who she was into somebody she didn't even recognize. I don't know who I am anymore. My identity is in my sickness. My identity is at the hospital. My identity is in the doctors I see. The only conversations I have is about what they're going to do next when I go to see the doctor. Whew. Man, I wish I'd saved this message. I wrote this, no worship. We take church for granted sometimes. She was so unclean that she couldn't even go to the house of God. She had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She couldn't go to church. I put all the spiritual ones up front. Just bear with me. No community. Some of you are antisocial, and that's okay. But you still love to be around people after a while. You still like to have some people around. Amen? You can say, well, I'm an introvert. I'm this, I'm that. But every once in a while, it's good to have a conversation with somebody who's not 6 or 7. It's good to have a conversation with somebody you're not taking care of. It's good to go have a meal. Amen? It's good to sit down. It's good to go somewhere and walk and look and see something new. Listen, for 12 years, she lost her community. She lost every person. Probably friends that loved her to death would say, yeah, but when I'm around her, I don't know what to talk about. I prayed for healing. I prayed for recovery. I prayed for this, and none of them answered, and she's still sick. Why is she still waiting? I don't know if I can be around. My God, I wish we could be real. No future. No future. Want to get married? Want to have kids? Want to have more kids? I don't know what her story was, but I guarantee you for 12 years she probably thought, well, there's some hope out there. Amen? I put no future, no relationships. Could you imagine all the gentlemen would come along? Hey, how are you doing? Great. I've been hemorrhaging for 12 years. All right. I'll be praying for you, sis. Amen. But I'm looking for somebody that I can have a family with. Oh, I know. I know. I'm going to another doctor, and they say there's a real good chance this guy has got the answer. Okay, well, call me if it works out. Love to go out. We get to know you if that works out. After a while, you start losing hope. Amen? And I wrote this one down. I should have put this one first, but I didn't want to make every one of y'all mad. So I'll just make you mad now. No intimacy. Oh, no, it's church. You ain't hugged nobody, held nobody's hand, ain't hugged nobody, ain't kissed nobody, ain't felt nobody touch you and love you for 12 years. God, have you forgotten me? Man, I wish I could preach to some people who was real. God, I know I got a relationship. I know I love you and I know you love me, but I'm lonely. God, I'm lonely. I want kids. I want a future. My goodness, I just want somebody to reach over and touch my hand and say, I love you. You're important to me. I want somebody to say, you're beautiful. God, I ain't got nothing. Are you ever going to come through? Because I'm miserable. She's broke. She's broke. Doctors took all of her money. I don't know if you've ever been broke or not. It's discouraging. Because you go into a mode of you're always asking for help. And you don't want to be there, but that's who you are. And you all get that look on people's face when you show up. They look at you and they go, oh, man. They see you on the phone. Oh, man. They don't know you didn't waste your money. You didn't ruin all your money. You didn't want to do it. You had to pay to get well, but you never got well. You ever been in a place where you're desperate? You lose your dignity. It's hard. It humbles you. And there she is for 12 years. That's a decade plus 2 years. Somebody, I don't know who it was. I can't even imagine who it was, whispered in her ear, Jesus is coming. Don't give me that kind of, don't you talk about it. Could you imagine the bitterness? I don't even know if he'd mess with anybody like me. I don't even know if he's got time. I don't even know if I got time. I'm broke. It don't matter. He don't want money. Every man in this town's promised me that dude. I know, but he's a different kind of man. What kind of man is he? He's the kind of man that sent all the disciples in the town and talked to a woman at a well, and he didn't try to hook up with her. He just gave her the living water. He ain't trying to hook up with you. He's trying to get you hooked up in a salvation. I don't know who told her in a way they told her, but I wish we had some people who would live their Christian faith in such a way that the most desperate people would want to come and see if what you got is really is what you're portraying. I wish you could make some people thirsty for Jesus. Because somebody made this lady thirsty for Jesus. 12 years of depression, 12 years of anxiety, 12 years no hope, 12 years no love, 12 years no future, 12 years broke, looked up and said, I will show up. I'm glad. Aren't you glad when somebody shows up that you didn't ever expect to be there? 12 years. They do it differently. They do it differently than the people who've always been around does it. See, when Jesus got off the boat and started walking, everybody started meeting him eye to eye. We're good like that at church. We all try to stay standing up. We want to meet Jesus like this. How you doing, Jesus? Well, golly, you're awful stiff-necked and erect, and man, you're standing tall. I'm a strong man. I'm a real good woman. I've been raised right. I'm glad to meet you. But the only ones that are getting any help is the man who ran, who was a leader and fell on his face before God, is the only one who's got an answer yet. And Jesus is moving towards his house to work on his daughter, and everybody else is just wanting to see Jesus. Everybody else is just trying to figure out what he is, and they're all trying to meet him eye level. But there's another lady there who's desperate. And I never seen it like this either. I want to show you something else that's pretty neat that I never seen in the scriptures, but let me show it to you. Verse 44, she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. Well, it stopped. This is really cool. It reminds me of my favorite Old Testament book. It's called Ruth. Jesus, what Jesus said to do, if there's somebody broke, if there's somebody poor, if there's somebody on the outside, if there's somebody that don't have, you let the corners of the fields alone. It's called gleaning. They'd glean, but he said, leave the corners for the poor, leave it for the broke. Leave some on purpose for somebody that don't have none. Do you have any for some people that don't have any on purpose? Do you have any Jesus for somebody who don't have him on purpose? She got behind him. I never seen that. I always showed him she was watching him like this. No, she was following him. God, I wish I could preach like that. I wish I could get it from here to here. She was weaving through the crowd. Maybe some people were like, hey, watch out. Yeah. Yeah. And she was like a laser focused. Can y'all see it like I see it? He just maybe disappears behind one man. And then he kind of get a glimpse of him. Well, there he is. Excuse me. Pardon me. Yeah. Excuse me. Just following, waiting for the opportunity to what? To glean. She didn't really care if she met him. She didn't care if they had a conversation. She didn't want all of Jesus. She just wanted a touch. I don't know how she did it, but she made her way. But it says she touched, look, the hem. Whew, goodness. And she came behind him and she touched the border. That's the hem or the fringe. The lowest part. How low would she have to be to touch the lowest part of Jesus as he's going away? The lowest part of the outside garment while she's behind. You see it yet? The lowest part, the fringe part of his outer garment. She's not trying to get all the way in. She just wants to touch him. She didn't want to stop and say, God, I wish y'all could get this. Hey, Jesus, I got this and this and this and this and this and this is going on in my life. All she said is, if I could just touch him. If I can just touch the fringe on the backside of Jesus, and if I touch the outer back fringe of Jesus, he can do as much for me if he would for anybody. I wonder how much material she actually touched. Can you see her fingers yet? That's enough. That's enough. Amen? That's enough. Everybody else in the crowd, I wonder if she touched and let go. Maybe didn't even feel a tug. He's being thronged. That means people. He's having to turn sideways. And they're really pressing through this crowd. And she's been touched. And she's sitting there, listen. And Jesus said, hurt! God, Jesus is cool. Wait. Now listen, I'm not preaching this. I'm preaching this for me too. Listen, who touched me? Why do we let Jesus pass by and we stop trying to touch him? Oh, that's good enough. I touched him last week. I've been with him for 3 years now. I've touched him. I was raised in this church. Man, my family came. Whatever. Hey, some of y'all ain't touched Jesus in so long and he ain't touched you. I'd be scared. Hey, man. I get scared if 3 or 4 weeks goes by and everybody else is getting God and I'm sitting over there going, well, maybe next week. Amen? Because we're afraid to touch. We're afraid to reach. We're not desperate enough. I'm being honest. We're not desperate enough to reach out and get a hold of him anymore. Because if he does, he might ruin the rest of our church. Last time I touched him like that, it took me 30 minutes to get out of the altar. When we got down to the restaurant, everybody had ate. And some of you, well, last time they got like that, they stayed in church forever. Praise God. If Jesus ever shows up, where are we going to go? If God shows up here, why are we such a rush to leave? Man, it took you that long to get ready. Some of you should want to stay a while. Preacher, some of you men should have said something. Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and sayest thou, who touched me? Man, I love Peter, but he is just like me sometimes. It'd be better if we'd just shut up sometimes with Jesus. Like he don't know what he's talking about. He could have been better if he'd say, Jesus, point him out. But instead he goes, what are you talking about, Jesus? Everybody's touching you. No, they're not. No, they're not. It's a big crowd. Everybody's touching you. Everybody wants you. No, they don't. No, they don't. There's somebody in this crowd who really wanted to touch me. They needed me. They reached out by faith. They didn't reach out with their hand. They reached out with their heart and their mind. They reached out and said, I believe you can. Whether you stop or not. Whether it gets well or not. Amen. It reminds me of the three Hebrew boys. We're going to give you one more chance to get down. Sorry. We're going to give you one more chance to dance. Okay, y'all better? We're going to give you one more time to worship. We're going to play the music when the sackbut, the psaltery, and the harp crank up. I don't know what those sound like, but it sounds like a polka band to me. Amen? When that band fires up, you better get to bowing and worshiping that idol. And I love what they said, whether our God delivers or not, whether he delivers or not, it is well with my soul.
soul.
We will not bow down. And if he doesn't deliver, fine. If he does deliver, fine. And if y'all remember that story, praise God, they got in the fire, and guess who was in there with them? One that, behold, that looked like the Son of God. I always preach it like this. Everybody seen Jesus in the fire with them, but we never know if the three men in the fire ever seen Jesus. You don't have to see Jesus in the fire. Just know that he's in there with you. Praise God. If you're in the fire and you're not being burnt up, you're in there to glorify God. Hallelujah. Some of y'all are in a fire. Some of y'all are in a storm, and you can't wonder why you're in it. This is why you're in it, because praise God, he wants you to show out in the storm. He wants you to lift your hand in the storm. He wants you to praise in the storm. He wants you to say, I don't know if I'm going to get married or not. In the storm, I'll praise him. I don't know if they're going to get well or not. In the storm, praise God. I don't know if my finances are going to work out. Praise him anyway. Woo. And he said, 46, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive the virtue is gone out of me. Only problem I've ever had with the King James Version Bible. Virtue, really? Virtue, really? I guess it meant the good. Virtue's good. But a better word for that is power. It's the better word is that dynamo. Where's my boy at? There he is. That's where we get our word dynamite. Amen? He said an explosion. Oh, man. An explosion went off as soon as she touched me. Amen? I love that. Let's go back up. I want y'all to see this. Verse 44. Go back up to verse 44 with me. An explosion went off in Jesus. And look what happened. And immediately, when? Immediately her issue of blood stanched, stopped. She went from a sick person to a well person. She went from a lonely person to a person in a crowd. She went from She went from a person who was not able to go to the sanctuary to somebody who just entered in the courts with Jesus. She just went where she couldn't see a priest or couldn't touch somebody holy to touching the holiest of holies. Who couldn't enter into the outer court. My God! Couldn't enter the outer courts of the temple, but all of a sudden entered into the most holy place there is. That's Christ. Woo! See, some of y'all are wondering, wonder what God will do. Wonder how he can do. Listen, I didn't know what it was going to be like to be saved, but when I touched him, something went off in me. When I really touched him with faith, something changed in me. He didn't change, I did. The explosion didn't affect him, it affected me. She's sitting there. Hey God. Crowd's done moved on. I'm good. Oh, come on. 12 years? 12 years? God. Hey, man. God, I'll do it this way. Keep on walking, Jesus. Come on. Go ahead on. I'm good. You can go on down to that girl's house. I'm good. Just sitting back there. I mean, two city blocks back and just having a little time. Walking around in a circle. Everybody go, man, she's drunk. Drunk on Jesus. I know y'all don't like that kind of stuff, but it's all right. High on Jesus. Amen. It's a different kind of high. You ain't got to worry about tomorrow. Amen. You remember everything. Keep your wife, keep your car, keep your job. Amen. And the woman, verse 47, and the woman, I love this part. I hate to tell you this. If you get saved, you can't hide it. If you get Jesus, you can't hide it. If the explosion goes off on you, if you touch him by faith and he touches you on the most deepest parts of your life, you can't hide it. And when the woman saw that she could not be hid, can't hide Jesus. If you can, you better come get you another dose. Amen? He's one of them, he's radical. Amen? He's radical like that. If you don't believe me, y'all know who Nicodemus is? Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. If you'll read on in chapter 7, he's sitting on the board of the Sanhedrin. He still looks the same, acts the same, wears the same, still hanging out with the same kind of people. Y'all get this? And he's sitting with them all of a sudden. Somebody says something about Jesus. And he defends Jesus. Couldn't even help himself. He didn't know where it came from. He was hanging out, doing the thing, you know. And somebody said, we need to get rid of him. He goes, hey, does our law judge anybody before we hear him? Everybody turned around and goes, who do you defending Jesus now? You one of him followers? You one of his disciples? Is that you? Well, I mean, yeah, well, something's happening. Hey, y'all hear me? Come on. Since you've been saved, has something been happening? Some of your friends are talking to you. Some of you, you look the same. You come and hang out, but something's different. Something's different about you. And he's working on me. It seems like he's pulling me out piece by piece. It seems like he's rewiring. Anybody got a rewiring going on? Anybody? I love when God rewires you, don't you? Have you ever got that? He takes one of them old wires off the way you think, and he plugs another one in there, and all of a sudden when you go into a situation that you've always went into, all of a sudden you think different about it? It's like God opens up the eyes and lets you say, wait a minute, that's bad. Amen? That's what God does. And all of a sudden, look at this. Nicodemus, at the very end of his deal, here's what he did. He knocks on the door. Pontius Pilate says, hey, can I get that body? No, young. This is a priest right before Passover. He can't defile himself with touching anything dead. But you know what? All of a sudden, he wants to carry the carcass of Jesus. He said, man, listen. The only thing deader than my religion with you guys is this thing like Jesus is dead. I'd rather have a dead Jesus than this dead religion you got. Me and Joseph are taking Jesus. God, I wish I could get a hold of that. You see Joseph, he got Jesus laid over. I wonder if he's talking to him. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm so glad that night I come and seen you. I have a feeling in a few days you're going to come back. I just got a feeling. Joseph Armenia's over there. I'm going to put him in my tomb. I'm going to put him in my spot. I'm going to put him in my location. Why? Because he's only going to be there 3 days. Look, I've got faith. You can't kill something this good. Let's all stand. How many of you are desperate for Jesus? Let me just ask you the question the way God wanted me to ask you it. Did you bring anything for Jesus this morning? Do you need anything for Jesus this morning? If you do, these altars are open for you. If you came here and you just came to be coming, I'm going to ask you to do something by faith. I'm going to ask you to step out and say, God, from now on, let me come wanting to give you something or wanting to receive something from you every single time. God, change my heart. Because I don't want to just belong to a church. I don't want to just go to a church. I want Jesus in my life. Church is good, but church with Jesus in your life is better. Amen? Because church only meets here for a couple of hours, 3 days a week. Jesus goes with you everywhere you go. And then you become the church everywhere you go. As they sing a song, if God's touched your heart.